Welcome to Braided, helping you balance tradition in an untraditional world. This is a show where we gather and talk about all things faith, family, and business. I'm so glad you joined us. Hello, hello, you guys. I hope y'all are having a wonderful Thursday, Christmas Eve Eve. I hope that y'all are having a beautiful day and you're getting your last minute shopping in and all of that stuff. Darren and I went to the mall earlier because I just wanted to get out of the house and do a little bit of work. And so he went with me. We went to Barnes & Noble. And I'm sitting there working and he's, I think reading a book or something. And, I'm watching all these people do their last minute shopping. And I was like, you know, for the first Christmas ever, we got everything done in time and it feels good. It feels so good to be ahead of the game. And so we're able to just relax and enjoy the rest of the Christmas season. So, although I do still need to wrap his main gift. But anyway, I hope that you guys are getting your last minute stuff done, or hopefully you're like us and you got everything done. Oh, look at all that dog hair right there. The joys of having dogs that shed. Okay, guys. So let's just hop right in. Day 20, live, don't watch. Today's reading, Luke 20. Other passages to ponder. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Psalm 90, 12. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. John 10, 27. Somewhere a snake hisses and a savior on a cross declares, "It is finished." A single red drop falls on the ground. The curtain splits and the curse breaks and the promise of Eden comes back to us. All the sisters and the daughters and the names say amen. Holly Girth. She scrolls through her social media feed and feels her soul deflate by the moment. She gazes at the pristine homes, artfully filtered family photos, and fun Christmas outings. She sets down her phone and picks up the remote to watch another Hallmark Christmas movie show. She holds the carton of ice cream close and scoops up another mouthful. She looks up at her TV and wonders, where do they find all of these gorgeous people and gorgeous homes? And who decorates every nook and cranny of every room? Why don't my streets have lights and wreaths and carolers in the snow? She sinks further into her old couch and looks around at her depleted life, which is really a beautiful life, but she just can't see it at the moment. She stares off into space and recalls a recent conflict with a friend. Her stomach knots up and her anxieties rise. Why does life have to be so hard? She rises early in the morning, grabs a cup of coffee, and settles into her favorite spot by the tree. She puts on an instrumental worship playlist and sets her phone aside with a fire in the fireplace and a warm cup in her hand. She opens up her Bible on her lap and asks God to speak through his word to the deepest parts of who she is. She lays out her plans for the day and asks for wisdom and direction. God whispers the name of a neighbor walking through a difficult time. She makes a note to reach out later today. Her mind wanders to her endless task list, but she pulls her thoughts to the present and focuses on the word before her. If you are wise in understanding God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. James 3:13 through 16. She lets the word penetrate her heart. Jealousy opens the door to every kind of evil. How often she's tempted to misjudge those who have what she longs for. But she fears God and loves what she has with him. She knows too how it feels to be on the receiving end of jealousy and wrong assumptions. She bows her head, opens her hands, humbles herself, and asks God to do a fresh work in her. Help me to live honorably, Lord. Help me not to spend my life watching others from the sidelines. You've given me a good life and a great work to steward. I refuse to waste my time as a jealous spectator. I'm loved and equipped, and I have important things to do. Help me to do them well for your glory. Amen. Jesus was continually surrounded by people who were jealous of him, who were threatened by him, and who hoped to trap him. Picture the religious leaders standing in the shadows, listening to Jesus. They clench their jaws, narrow their eyes, and whisper among themselves, "This man must be stopped." One day, while he was teaching the people and preaching the good news in the temple, the leading priests and elders approached him and demanded to know by what authority he did the things he did. Up until this point, the Jewish people thought the Pharisees were religious standard of the day, even though there was much corruption behind scenes. Status was prime real estate for the Pharisees. Their power-grabbing schemes worked until they didn't. True statues arrived in the form of holiness, humility, and help for the hurting. God suddenly seemed accessible, and the religious leaders found this good news a terrible threat to their claimed territory. If only they had been seekers instead of watchers. Posturing for an opportunity to spend Jesus's influence, the leaders sent spies pretending to be honest men. They tried to bait Jesus into saying something that could be reported to the Roman governor so he would arrest Jesus. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you speak and teach what is right and are not influenced by what others think. You teach the way of God truthfully." They hoped to trap Jesus with a question. They didn't realize they were completely outmatched. In fact, what they said in the moment about Jesus was true, even though they spoke from corrupt, cold hearts. Jesus didn't shrink back from difficult conversations. He engaged with wisdom and insight, all the while remembering who he was. The religious leaders, on the other hand, had rested on their laurels for too long. When Jesus arrived on the scene, their own jealousy blinded them from truly seeing what God was up to in their midst. Our jealousy will do the very same thing to us. If we want to walk in God's power, we need to reflect his heart. The Pharisees watched, assessed, and judged from the sidelines. Their hearts fossilized along with their sense of expectancy. The scriptures they claimed to know so well prophesied of a coming Messiah, but they'd stopped looking expectantly for him and instead searched for ways to kill him. When we live in the shadows and spend any of our precious time jealously watching others, we weaken ourselves and our influence. In due time, our spiritual muscles sag and our hearts grow cold. Imagine opening your door in the dead of a Minnesota winter and letting the frigid cold air into your toasty warm home. This is not to say we shouldn't watch others. In biblical times, an apprentice actually moved in with his master so he could learn his master's craft, his rhythm, and how to live an integrated life. It's not that we watch, it's who we watch that determines the course of our lives. If you determine not to look to the left or right, but you instead set your face like flint and follow wholeheartedly after Jesus, you may notice a few things, like the power that infuses your steps and encourages your heart, the wisdom that comes from above when you need it most, the correction that you grow to count on because you know you're a work in progress, and the love and mercy that spills out of the Father's heart for you because you are his. Something else will rise up too, the jealousies of others. There are those who live life powerfully and those who watch others jealously. Don't be deterred by your critics or discouraged by your doubters. They'll have to explain themselves to God one day. You be you. You do you. And you remember that when you fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, you will live in a way that gets both heaven's and hell's attention. Stay grounded in the things of God. Keep listening for his voice. Seek peace and pursue it. And leave the agitators to God. You have a powerful life to live, and with God's help, you will. Prepare him room. King Jesus, I marvel at the way you lived your life. You stayed on mission, handled your critics, and helped the hurting. And though the needs were endless, you found time to slip away and enjoy some solitude in the presence of your Father. You spoke with precision and prayed with power. With wisdom and humility, you submitted your Father to your Father and you silenced your critics. You weren't soft, you were tender. You weren't weak, you were yielded. You weren't absent, you were present. Help me to live like you lived. I'm following hard after you. Love you, Lord. Amen. Look up. Fast from watching in a way that weakens you. Turn off the TV, turn away from social media, and turn your eyes upward to the one who loves your soul. Read a biography about someone who inspires you. Steward your perspective with vision and wisdom. Perfect read, especially for being in this season, because it's true. It's so easy to get lost in the perfect lives of social media world, when in fact, people, number one, don't always have perfect lives. They only, we've heard it so many times, they post their highlight reel. And number two, I think that especially in this culture that we're in right now, or not culture, but climate of the world, we also have to understand that people are blessed in due time, or I'm trying to figure out how to word this. I guess what I'm saying is what's meant for you in your due time will happen when it's time. I know a lot of people sometimes get frustrated in their jobs or their careers, and they look at the person who has invested lots of time in their skill. And so, yes, they're going to be a little bit more ahead than us. They've worked hard to get there. And so remember that too, is just because you're not where you want to be doesn't mean where you won't. Keep working hard, keep striving, keep doing what you need to do. And I bring this up because they talked about apprenticeship, and that's what apprentices would do, is they, now I think it's more kind of like called internships, but you go and you learn all you can about a certain craft, learn a certain skill. A lot of women will get, mentors, godly mentors that are older than them, and they learn how to homemake, how to be a good wife, how to be a good mother, how to steward the blessings and the giftings that God has given them. And so they're learning from them. And so lots of great points. Great one. Okay. So day 21, discern the times. Today's reading, Luke 21. Other passages to ponder. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. 1 Peter 4:7-9. Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. I'm not looking for signs, said the late Vance Havner. I'm listening for a sound. The sound of the trumpet, the shout of the archangel. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The Worsaby Bible Commentary. Hunched over with an aching back and sore feet, she shuffled across the temple floor and made her way to the court of women. People brushed past her as if she didn't exist. The other women ignored her completely. Jesus stood off in the distance and smiled with great affection. He tapped his brother's arm and said, "Watch and learn." She made her way forward to bring her offering. She dropped in two small coins. They were so light, they barely made a sound. She gave the smallest of the Roman coins, worth about 6 minutes of wages. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the rest of them, for they have given a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. Jesus honored this widow's gift. By all earthly standards, her offering was inconsequential. From heaven's point of view, it exceeded all of the other gifts combined. Dr. Warren writes, when it comes to our giving, God sees more than portion. He also sees the proportion. Men see what is given, but God sees what is left. And by that, he measures the gift and the condition of our hearts. More and more, Jesus worked to wean his followers from man's opinion and from how things appear to the natural eye. A lesson for us to more deeply appreciate the eternal value of every moment of our lives. Jesus knew his time on earth was coming to a close, and he intentionally prepared his followers for their days ahead. Once again, he reaffirmed the distinction between earthly appearances and spiritual realities. How wise of Jesus to preface a difficult message with such a beautiful, simple example of all in faith. The seemingly insignificant poor widow gained heaven's attention. Such a good reminder that God sees our hearts and joyfully receives what we lovingly offer him. Jesus then talked about difficult times in the days ahead, natural disasters and unexplained weather patterns, false messiahs, betrayals, and increased persecution. And yet, through persecution, some would be brought before high-level leaders and have the chance to testify in a way they'd otherwise never get the chance to. Jesus continues, and there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And here or not on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. Luke 21, 25 through 28. Though we're not to try to guess the date of Christ's return, Jesus tells us to discern the times. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and wedding right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Matthew 24, 37 through 39. Two things marked Noah's day: decadence and desertion. The times were evil and people didn't care. They partied, got drunk, numbed out, and had a good time. And they abandoned any fear of God they once had. When people turn their backs on God, wickedness flourishes. And when wickedness prospers, the vulnerable suffer. When the weak and vulnerable suffer too long, God eventually steps in. Just the other day, I was reading the book of Jeremiah about how God had enough with the deserters. They flippantly disregarded the Most High God and went so far as to mock his prophets, called God's prophets windbags, and implied that they didn't speak for God. Pretty bold, wouldn't you say? If they turned their backs on God, how in the world would they know who spoke for God? Read what happens next. Therefore, this is what the Lord God of heaven's army says. Because the people are talking like this, my message will flame out of your mouth and burn the people like kindling wood. Jeremiah 5:14. Consider this: the degree to which deserters mock God's people will be the degree to which God pours out his power on his people. God will make sure that his people will speak with courage, boldness, authority, and truth. After all God had done for his people, the deserters had completely abandoned him. Listen to God's passionate appeal and notice what he's looking for in us. Have you no respect for me? Why don't you tremble in my presence? I, the Lord, define the ocean's sandy shoreline as an everlasting boundary that the waters cannot cross. The waves may toss and roar, but they can never pass the boundaries I set. But my people have stubborn and rebellious hearts. They have turned away and abandoned me. They do not say from the heart, let us live in awe of the Lord our God, for he gives us rain each spring and fall, assuring us of a harvest when the time is right. Your wickedness has deprived you of these wonderful blessings. Your sin has robbed you of all these good things. Jeremiah 5:22-25. Let's break this passage down a bit. God deserves our respect. He spoke the galaxies into existence and delights in every detail of our lives. We're called to know his holiness, majesty, and power so well that we tremble in his presence. We're called to be so in tune with him and his creation that we continually stand in awe of his handiwork. We're invited to so enjoy our relationship with him that we instinctively say, let us live in awe of the Lord, our God, for he supplies our needs and brings us a harvest when the time is right. Certain blessings are reserved for those who walk in fear of the Lord. What are we to do with the difficult passages in Luke chapter 21? We draw near to God. We walk in fear of the Lord. We resist the temptations toward decadence and desertion. The farther we wander, the more sin will justify, and the more sin takes root in our hearts, the less God's ways will influence our lives. It seems we're living in days much like Noah's. People don't even care to know the truth. They want to believe what they want to believe. How then shall we live? This is how the Lord responds. If you turn to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak God's word rather than worthless ones, you will be my spokesman. You must influence them. Do not let them influence you. Jeremiah 15:19. Another translation, the NASB reader, if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. These are difficult days, but nobody is getting away with anything. This isn't a time for decadent indulgence. It's a time for sober reflection and mountain-moving faith. Trying to live with one foot in the kingdom and one foot out will only tear you in two. The great divide has already begun. Make no mistake about it. A great party awaits us, celebrations galore, but not yet. Right now, Jesus asks us for our undivided attention. Look around your sphere of influence. Observe your culture. To what is he calling you? Can you find something precious in the midst of poison? Can you shine your light in the darkness? This earth will pass away. We are foreigners just passing through. This place is not our home, so we ought not to try to make it so. God gives us good gifts in the land of the living, but he promised we'd suffer too. But a day is coming when he'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. Until then, we live by faith. We offer our offerings. We reach out to others in love. We hold on to the hope, and we keep our eyes on the eastern sky. Prepare him room. Dear Jesus, I'm tempted to be terrified of the times we're in, but I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Help me to live in a manner worthy of your name. Help me to extract the precious from the worthless that I might be your spokesperson. Give me faith to believe you for miracles and a heart of courage to steward them. Eternity is everything. Help me to trust you in the meantime. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Look up. Fast from indulgences that you know weaken you. Ask God to show you where and how you've let your guard down and compromised your faith. Use this beautiful holiday to reconnect with your Savior. Beautiful, beautiful. And I hope that you are using this time to reconnect with your Savior and that you're using this time to remember what has happened for you. How amazing is that your salvation is that important to God, to Jehovah, that he would send his own son to be crucified on the cross for your sin so that way you can have freedom. And that is something to embrace, you guys. So embrace that this season. I hope some of y'all will be going, or most of y'all will be going to a church service where you're reminded and you can commune and come together as children of God and celebrate the birth of our Savior. So I can't promise I'm going to be here tomorrow. I have a little bit of a busy day with family. However, I'm going to try, but I also don't want to commit too much to that because, you know, it's Christmas Eve, and we have, I believe we have what, how many more readings. So we're on day 22. We have 4 more readings, you guys. And so the truth is I probably wouldn't be able to finish tomorrow. I thought about maybe trying to come back on this evening and doing 2 more readings, and then maybe in the morning doing 2 more readings. So I'm going to try to do that, but I'm not going to commit to that, you guys, because I, you know, promised myself that I was going to take this season to really just embrace time with the Lord and to embrace rest. And so I also am not going to stress myself out, if that makes sense. And it's not in an ugly way. It's just in a way that I have learned to love myself and to know that God's timing is everything. And so when he opens up the door, when he impresses it on my heart to come back on here, I will. And so again, it might be this evening and in the morning. If not, though, you guys have a Merry Christmas, and I will see y'all for sure. We will finish this out next week. But other than that, you guys, I hope that you too will take tomorrow off to just rest, to embrace the season, to embrace God and Jesus and your family and your friends, and just really know who you are in Christ. Love y'all, and have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas Eve. Thank you for tuning into this episode. Please visit us at www.braided.faith and find us on all social media platforms under Crystal Addis or Braided Faith. We look forward to connecting with you.